Oh, you may have gotten ahead in life, but here's what I know, that inside you have no joy. Because selfishness and selfish ambition and vain conceit leads to misery.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. Happy to be your host today here with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, you're taking us today through a powerful passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This is the second half of a message you've entitled, The Upside Down Attitude. What is that?
You know, the upside down attitude is really the attitude of Jesus. And this is one of the most compelling, powerful passages in the New Testament. Many of us, if you don't have a proper theology, you just view Jesus as a good example, a person that looked out for the marginalized. And there's been tons of people like that down through history that have been great examples of people that brought about social change. Jesus is much more than that. Jesus, this passage tells us, who is in the very nature God, God himself, equal with God, in the beginning with God, eternal God, yet he takes upon himself the form of a servant. And he takes on himself the limitation of a human being, and he comes with a mission. So this is all about serving others. And here's the hard part about it, Joshua, is that Jesus says, and I want you as my followers to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, this is a struggle. This is, you don't read this and say, yeah, you know, I got it, no problem. I mean, you're asking, God is asking us to be willing to give up our rights, to submit, to suffer, to glorify God through putting others first. This is core. This rocks our world.
It does. But you know, the great thing about this is that in essence, what God is saying is that through humility and through servanthood really is where we are exalted. That it's through our humility and servanthood that greatness comes. And one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's what this passage says.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor Mark. I know this message is going to be incredibly relevant for somebody listening today. And as you do, may God make the words of his Holy Scripture come alive in your heart and give you encouragement and nourishment. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This is the second half of the upside down attitude.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or out of pride, where you're conceited about yourself and you look at your own image. And you know, I run into a lot of people that are obsessed with themselves. Let me just give you another flash. A lot of our counseling these days, both professional and our bar side counseling. I mean, you know what bar side counseling is. They're sitting at the bar. Yeah, give me a Miller Lite. I got marriage problems. And there's always a guy in the bar saying, let me tell you about marriage. I'm going to tell you, buddy, what you need to do because I know about these things. Well, how do you know? Well, I've been through 4 divorces. Okay? And you're taking advice from a guy at the bar that's been through 4 divorces? Everybody's got an opinion, especially after they have a few Bud Lights in them. They're really free with their opinions, and they got a lot to say about your life and how to fix your life and what to do. Okay? A lot of people are that way. And so, it tells us in this, consider, it says, not out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. So a lot of these individuals and a lot of our counseling out there is going to tell you this. If you're miserable, if you're unhappy, your problem is you have to love yourself more. Problem is you don't love yourself enough. So if you're unhappy, if you're miserable, you need to look out for yourself more. You need to love yourself more. You need to take care of yourself more. Put yourself ahead. And that's the solution that a lot of people tell us. Love yourself more. That's the solution. Let me tell you, I never see that in the Bible. In fact, what I see in the Bible is that we love ourselves often too much. That it's all about us. Not about God and not about others. And you say, well, that's my problem. I'm unhappy. So you know what? I got to start looking out for number one. I got to start pampering myself more. I got to start looking out for my needs more. I got to start taking care of myself more. I got to start putting myself first in everything in life, because if I'm unhappy, that must be the way to happiness. And so you do it. You pamper yourself more. You look out for number one. You make yourself your main priority. And 4 months later, you find you're more miserable than ever. Because it's all about you. And what he's saying here is, he says, I want you to consider others better than yourself. In what? In humility. Can I define humility for you? Some people think that humble people, well, he's humble. And we had this image that a humble person is going around saying, well, no, don't consider my opinion. I'm just a worm. I'm a nobody. And he can't look you straight in the eyes and sort of squirmy and just have a really low concept of themselves. And people are giving you opinion. Well, I don't have anything to say. Please don't consider me. I'm just a worm. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm just a groveling person here. And we say, well, they're humble. No, they're not humble. That's not humility. That is self-deprecation. And that is as self-focused as pride is. Let me tell you, if you're in self-pity, you're as focused on yourself as someone that's conceited or proud. Humility is not that way. In fact, biblical humility is a person that can look you with confidence in the eyes. They know who they are before God, and they know who they are before man, because they're walking in biblical humility. A person with, if you are around someone with, that has real humility, you will walk away thinking, wow, that person really cares about me. They really listened to me. My opinion was important to them. They seem to have a joy about life. Why? Humility's not groveling. Humility's having a right perspective of ourselves before God. That's humility. Jesus was humble. And when do you see Jesus groveling? He spoke with authority and confidence. He loved, yet he was full of humility. So it says, in humility, looking out for the interest of others. Verse 4, each of you should not look only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others that are around you, because it's not about selfishness. If you're looking out for your own interests only, it leads to misery, lack of joy. If you're looking out for God and you're looking to God and God gives you a love for people and God gives you a concern about people that are around you, that is the pathway to joy. You say, Pastor, I mean, I just don't understand that. Man, that is so not how I operate. That is so foreign to my mentality. I mean, flesh it out for me. How does this work in the practical? You want me to flesh it out for you? That's where the passage goes next. Listen to what it says. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now here's what happens. I love this. Suddenly, we go from talking about our attitude to jumping into one of the most profound theological passages in all the New Testament. He draws your attention almost anecdotally to the person of Jesus. And he begins to explain the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. He said, have this attitude in you. In fact, there's some debate in the Greek as to exactly what this passage means, like gain this attitude. or this attitude is already in you, now just flesh it out or live it out. But have this mindset, this attitude, this way of thinking in you that existed in Christ Jesus. Well, you say, what kind of attitude did Jesus have? And then he goes on to describe about five things that describe the attitude of Jesus, that he's saying, this is your mindset. This is how God wants you to live. This is how God wants you to behave, because when you live a selfless life, you will be like Jesus and you will experience incredible joy. Well, what is that attitude that Jesus modeled? Look at what it says in verse 6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now I want you to hear me well, because this is huge. Who being in the very nature God. Now the word right here, when it says being in the very nature God, being in the very, some translations say the very form God. In the Greek there's two words. There's schema and there's morphe. Schema means having the outward appearance of something, being in the form of something, having like someone looks like a nice person, or they're dressed up like something, but they're not really that. The word morphe means that someone is metamorphosized into that, that that is really who they are from the inside out. Listen, Jesus, who being in the very essence of his being, God. You say, well, I don't understand, Pastor. What are you saying? I'm saying that Jesus was not like God, was not just the Son of God, but the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was in essence God. And then later it says, and that word came and became incarnate among us. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is not just a created being. I want to clarify this, because there's a lot of theological confusion around who Jesus is. There's a lot of weird teaching out there about this. And if you don't get this straight, you're going to have a lot of confusion about a lot of things in life theologically. Listen, I want you to have very clearly in your mind, Jesus is not just like God. He's not just the Son of God. He's not just close to God. The Bible teaches that Jesus has always been God, will always be God, and forever into the future, he is God Almighty.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called The Upside Down Attitude, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark Jobe is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. But right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and his message, The Upside Down Attitude.
Isn't he the Son of God? Yeah, he's always been the second person of the Godhead. But Jesus never had a beginning or never had a birth, because Jesus has always been. God has always been from eternity past and will always be in the present and into eternity future. Being in the very essence God. In other words, he was equal. Look what it says. And he did not consider his equality. What does equality mean? Equal. And Jesus, although he is equal to God the Father in his power, in his essence, in his authority, in his nature, in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, in his sovereignty, although being equal to God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he didn't cling to it. He didn't grab onto it. Have you ever seen toddlers fight over a toy? Mine. No, mine. Mine. They fight over it. They grasp it. They cling to it. He did not consider equality with God something to cling to grab onto, to hold on tenaciously to. Look what it says in verse 7. But he made himself nothing. Notice it doesn't say he was made nothing. It doesn't say God kicked him out of heaven. It doesn't say God the Father forced him to become nothing. It says he made himself nothing. The word in the Greek here is kenosis. It's called the kenosis passage, which a literal translation of this is, he emptied himself. Emptied himself of what? When he came down from glory, what did he empty himself of? Well, let's be clear about this. He did not empty himself of deity. Jesus never ceased to become God. In all his humanity, he was all man and all God. Let's get that clear. Some people think that Jesus emptied himself of being God and just became a man, so he was just another Jewish man of the first century. No. That would make him like a Gandhi, a nice model martyr that died, but that's it. Or a Martin Luther King, the reformer, who was assassinated and died and inspired people. Jesus was much more than just a model, much more than an inspiration. He was all God, omnipotent God of the universe in humanity, all God and all man all the time. You say, well, Pastor, I just do not understand that. Welcome to the mystery. Can your finite mind or my finite mind embrace eternity and understand every nuance of the incarnation? No! And this side of glory will not understand some of the mysteries that are profound and deep. But the Bible says he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature. Here's the word again, morphe. Taking on the very nature of a servant. He didn't dress like a servant, act like a servant. He became a servant. And being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You see, what does it mean that he humbled himself? Let me tell you what it means that he humbled himself. It means that God Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the God that has always been, the creator of the universe, the one that breathed and there was life, the one that hovered over earth and separated the light from the darkness and the water from the earth, the one that has been inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one that has never learned anything because he's always known everything, the one that is omnipresent, which means he's present all the time at every place, the one that is omnipotent, which means he has all power. He came in the form of a fetus. God Almighty birthed in the form of a helpless baby whose diapers had to be changed, who experienced pain and hunger and tiredness and stress and puberty, who found himself tired when as God he never was tired, who found himself hungry when as God Almighty it was a foreign concept to him, who found himself bleeding when as a spirit being he would never bleed, who found himself limited, self-limited, because in his emptying himself, he limited himself. Some people say, well, I thought Jesus was all-knowing. In Matthew chapter 24, he says, no one knows the time except the Father. Why? Because in his humanity, Jesus limited himself. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even want to think of Jesus that way. I mean, that's too hard for me to think of Jesus that way. That is the point of the incarnation, that it required his humility to take on the form of a man, being all God and being all man at the same time. And the Bible says that he became obedient to death. What kind of death? Oh, the death of the cross. This was no ordinary death. This was a painful death. This was an accursed death. This is what people shuddered at. An extreme agonizing death. But he became obedient to the death. Why? Because he was a victim? No, because he chose to die. You see, he had all knowledge from the beginning that he was on a mission. Why is he telling us all this? Because he's saying, I want you to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. who wasn't living just for himself, but was living for something bigger than himself, and humbled himself and served people. He didn't ask people to serve him. He served people even though he was God Almighty. Verse 9 says, "And therefore God exalted him to the highest place." What place? The highest place. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, the highest place is at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that he died and he rose and he ascended into heaven, and all principality and power and sickness and death and disease have all been subject to his authority. They've been placed under his feet. And listen to this. I love this. And he gave him a name. What name did he give him? Yeshua. We say Jesus. Well, that was his name he was given, Yeshua. But that name is above every name. What do you mean it's above every name? Because that name is associated with Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord means above everything. Lord means master. Lord means highest. Lord means exalted. Listen, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean that everybody one day is going to get saved? Oh, no. Well, you say, it says here that they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Does that mean that everybody one day is going to believe and everybody's one day going to worship Jesus? No. It just says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you how it's going to happen. In that day when judgment comes, those that have believed will bow their knee and say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Others will bow with clenched teeth and fists lifted up to heaven with bitterness in their soul, anger in their hearts, unrepentant hearts, and they will bow and break and say, yes, Jesus is Lord. It doesn't mean they'll repent. It doesn't mean they'll be soft. It means one day that some will be forced to bow their knee and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And their eternal destiny will be set not in a destiny of repentance, but in a destiny of bitterness and anger towards God. Listen, one day every knee is going to bow. You see people right now that are high and mighty that flaunt themselves in front of God. One day every leader, every king, every CEO, every president, every multimillionaire, every atheist, every person on the face of this earth that's ever existed, the toughest guy to the weakest guy, will bow their knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some with fear and trembling, some with worship and adoration. And just so you know, it's everybody, he says, they'll bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In other words, past, living, and present. Dead, past, and future. Everybody will. For why? For what purpose? And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory, the radiant image of God the Father. You say, Pastor, how do I live it out? You want to know how to live out selflessness? Look at Jesus. A few years back, the little bracelets came out, WWJD. What would Jesus do? It was so foreign to me. I've been taught, number one, self. You need to be asking yourself this question. What would Jesus do? You know, you've been living on your own for a long time. You've been looking out for number one for a long time. And you know what? Hey, is it working for you? I mean, really, is it working for you? See, I know if you've been living for number one, I know you're not happy. I know your marriage isn't good. Oh, you may have gotten ahead in life, and you may have some toys. But here's what I know, that inside, you have no joy. Because selfishness and selfish ambition and vain conceit leads to misery. This emptiness, this hollowness, this depression. How many know that people can be successful and depressed? Why? Because it's all hollow when it's all about you. And there's something very liberating about bowing our knees and saying, it's not about me. It's about God It's about His work in me. My big question is not how can my needs be met, but my big question is how can I live for God?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's message, The Upside Down Attitude, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Joy is a Choice. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 6. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.